right, so let's make it plain. Welcome back to the Make It Plain Wayne podcast, Elevated Friendship. How do you feel about all this going on? Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel, but how do you feel? Let's make it plain. All right, so we are back, and yes, this was a very, very heated and controversial, you know, outdoor championships for the Bucks. You know, we had so many wins. Allyson Felix and her farewell tour. You know, Sydney McLaughlin, scorching the track. You know, running 51.4, breaking her own, you know, personal best, which is the world record. And then also seeing, you know, the 100-meter. Dominance and brilliance from the men and women, the 200, the hurdles, you know, men and women, while also, you know, seeing, you know, movements in, you know, mid distance, jumps and throws. So I want to go through that a little bit. You know, the vaulting looks like it's back in full swing. So we'll kind of work through it and, you know, talk a little bit about it. And then I kind of want to wrap up with a little bit of insight for the mind with these, you know, runners. So, yeah, it just starting out right at the top, I am just looking right at the USATF website. And for those of you that don't know, you can come here anytime and look at the results. I am not paid by them. I do not work for them. I am simply a fan. Please just take the time to get comfortable with these results and meets, because I don't think people understand how much of a sport and how much of a science running really is. The pieces of what makes the 100-meter dash great for me and for you, while it might include hard work and strategy, they might differ, you know, in some places. So you have, you know, your block start, which includes, you know, coming out from a very low position, into your drive phase where your torso is actually almost parallel with the ground for a good amount of time. And then after about maybe 20 or 30 yards, you are finally up in your, you know, regular running position with your head up. I mean, this could be the difference of 35 meters to 40 meters of just driving out from the blocks to create that momentum where now in the middle of the race, you can cleanly hold what you've built and then finish with, you know, as least amount of deceleration as possible. And so how do you do that? Weeks, months, days of training, hours of training. You've got to be good in the weight room. You've got to be good with your natural body weight. If you don't want to do weights, you've got to be good with your natural body weight movement, you know, similar to a gymnast. You've got to have, you know, a little bit of cardio speed, where you can do things like hills or, you know, repeat hundreds or, you know, 150s or even 250s. You know, and for the right race, you know, I say for 400 meter runners, being able to run a quality 350. You might, of course, because of the 200 and the 400, especially for a 400 runner, 400 hurdler, you might want to add a little, you know, over distance in, you know, maybe Wednesday morning, maybe, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, just to keep that freshness of cardio in your body. But you've got to have so many pieces aligned going well to be able to run great and quality times and compete with the nation's best in college for the NCAAs, the nation's best professionally with USATF, and then the world's best in the world meet. So in the track and field world, we don't have to wait for the Super Bowl to fight or challenge these greats. We get to see them, whatever the world has, every year at our world meet. So similar to the World Cup, similar to the NBA championships or the Super Bowl, it's every year. So I think that's, you know, ironically, and I shouldn't have said, you know, compared that to the Super Bowl, you get to see the best at the Super Bowl. I mean, those are two teams. Those are the best teams. You know, all controversy aside, those are the best two teams. Only difference is with the World Track and Field, the whole world is there each year. So you can have representations of America, of Great Britain, of Canada, Mexico, Jamaica, definitely Jamaica, Brazil. I mean, and these are our neighbors just on this side of the earth. Then when you involve, you know, the European countries and Great Britain and Sweden and Denmark and Poland and, you know, the Middle East, you involve, you know, Russia, China, Japan, and all these amazing countries. You know, when you start to involve them, the party gets a little bit more crowded. So let's just go with today. Let's focus on USATF and let's go through the women. So 100 meter dash, won by Melissa Jefferson. She ran a 10.69. 10.69 is flying, okay? Flying. And I'm happy to be surprised by this win. I didn't have her on my radar. And, you know, as much as I love to, you know, stick my chest out about the NCAA Nationals meet, I don't remember seeing this name. So, I mean, credit to her work and her efforts and what she believes that she could do. Dope. Aaliyah Hobbs got second. I'm running for Team Adidas. She's a longtime veteran now. She was an LSU grad. I don't know where Tanisha Terry, where TT Terry went, but I thought she went to LSU with Shakari Richardson as well. So Aaliyah Hobbs, great job. 10.72, heading to Worlds. Proud and excited for her. And then TT Terry, running her 10.74. Dope. Awesome. Excited to see it. Young talent and the training partner of Shakari. So I was hoping to see her do a little bit better, being that she's a training partner of Shakari, but everybody's race model is different. And just being able to train with somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to run better, but it will push you, right? It will push you. Now, the 200 meters was a different story. So, you know, we've got these races now that, I mean, I don't know. We've of course heard that the NCAAs make the collegiate women burn out, and it doesn't give them the ability to come and run another set of rounds. You know, the opening round, first round, you know, then prelims, and then semifinals, and then finals. So you're going to run, you know, 3 to 4 times, you know, any given meet. So for this meet specifically, we're trying to send people home. So the qualifications might be a little bit different, you know, coming to, you know, an elite meet like this. But Abby Steiner has been blazing up the track, 21.77, flying. Okay, her first 100 meters was an 11.36. The next 150 was a 16.47. So for any of you that are doing these times at home and you want to break these down, these are on USATF. And thanks to Xfinity for doing such a great job of helping us publicize this meet. Hats off to you all. But yeah, 16.47 by the 150. And I think everybody knows by now, Abby Steiner does have a lot of good cardio speed and power. She holds her deceleration off much better than a lot of the runners, a lot of the nation's best. Tamara Clark, also good job. 21.92, you know, blazing. You know, Adidas definitely representing really well. Team Adidas, I see you. So, you know, there's that. And then Jenna Prandini, an Oregon alum, Oregon favorite, running 22.01, almost 22 flat. She's still got some juice. You know, she's still got some kick. So, you know, that's awesome. But, just found something. So, you guys, I'll be back later to talk about this. Found a new toy. So, yes, in the women's 400-meter dash, Talitha Diggs runs her 50.22. You know, a Florida grad, also doing well at NCAAs. Kendall Ellis, 50.35. I can't say I know that name. And then Lena Irby from Adidas, 50.67. So, Wadalyn Jonathan did not make it. I do not, I'm not familiar with Kennedy Simon, but I am familiar with Allyson Felix, the most decorated track athlete we've ever had. And I mean, this girl has been duking it out with the nation's best for, almost 20 years. I mean, we're talking running professionally since she was a teenager. Like, not many people get to do that unless you're Kevin Garnett or Jason Tatum or one of these NBA greats. So people aren't really ready for that when they see it in this world because you're so young. Like kids like Arian Knighton, he's so young. I mean, he can't even buy cigarettes yet. Can't even buy alcohol, and he's out here competing with the world's best, the nation's best. So congratulations to all of them, and this farewell tour for Allyson Felix is very heartfelt and emotional because she's just a few years younger than me. So I've been watching her run for the duration of my collegiate running career and watching her run awesome. So next was the 800 meter dash. This was a really controversial race with a thing Mo. I'm running her 157 and being pushed and bullied by Ajee Wilson. Raven Rodgers crept in there as well, running for Team Nike, also an Oregon alum. So when you see them there, they're going to get a bunch of love. But Ajee Wilson, talented runner, such an amazing, talented runner and stable. Like she keeps coming back. So I don't know who's going to come out and one day break that 800 meter record, but boy, they've got a lot of work to do because it's nasty. It's like a, I think like a 153. And the two women capable of running those times, one has been rumored to be on performance enhancing drugs or steroids way back in her day, I believe in the late 70s, mid 70s. And then there's also the controversy from Caster Semenya, who, with the testosterone and chromosome. So 400 was dope. But yeah, ultimately it always comes down to those top three, right? That's who, we get to take. So let's see here. The 800, I'm sorry, 1500, Sinclair Johnson, 403.29, Team Nike, I see you. Corey McGee, 404, from New Balance, I see you. And L. St. Pierre, New Balance, 405. So, I haven't really had a chance to see these ladies very much. That's what's really funny. So, I'll have to get to know them a little bit better, but congratulations to them, because I think these names have moved around on me a little bit. So, yes, apologize for that, but we will get into them a little bit deeper. So, yeah, with the women's 5,000, obviously the dedication of training is going to be pretty intense. When you need to cover, this distance from 1,000 to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, you got to hit, very smooth. So Elise Cranny running a 15:49, 15. Then Carissa Schweizer running a 15:49, and then Emily Enfield running 15:49. So yeah, I apologize for not knowing these young ladies a little bit better, a little bit different. But yeah, we will get into studying them, learning them a little bit deeper, a little bit better. Some of the athletes, and I'm probably going to date myself here, some of the athletes I'm used to seeing run these races aren't aren't in there anymore. So maybe I just need to, wisen up and get a little bit, older, a little bit wiser. Now, I am a hurdler myself, hurdler by trade and a hurdle coach. So this next event is a little bit near and dear to my heart. The 100 meter hurdles, Kenny Harrison is coming back. That 12:20 time that she ran to blaze the track and set the world record, it looks like she might be back into form to run that race. So whatever it is that wasn't going well for her, it looks like she's on her way back to running quality times. And then with Alaysha Johnson running a 12:35, Mrs. Beauty and eyelashes and hair, I love her. She ran a 12:35. So Kenny Harrison running a 12:34, that's literally a blink of an eye. Aaliyah Armstrong running her 12:47 from Louisiana State University. I mean, huge, huge kudos to her for being a college girl, beating women from Team Nike, Team Adidas, and, you know, some of the world's best. So, Nia Ali, obviously running very well in the, previous rounds. She is our, world's previous champion, which gives her a bye to get in, which is dope. I mean, she ran awesome in her early rounds. I think she ran 12-4 as well. Let's go look. Nia Ali ran 12-4-9 to qualify. So every reason to believe she would have been ready to go on the day. 400 hurdles. We had, Sydney McLaughlin also burning up the track once again. And it's just like, now the story is like, she's so good. Now you got to pay attention to the other people. You know, it's like, oh, okay. It's like Tom Brady and, Joe Montana. And then like, who else? So Britton Wilson, unattached, running very well. Shamir Little finally qualifying, getting in 53.92. I mean, if anybody follows her career, you know, she's fought for it. She's worked for it. She just happens to come up short, you know, coming around home that last 150 where people seem to get her. And I don't know if this means she needs to change training or change squads, but it's tough out here, y'all. It's hard. And the 400 hurdles is now becoming just as competitive as the 100 and 200. So, you got to get up. Anna Cockrell did not make it. Our USC grad and standout that won the 100 and the 400 hurdles in her senior year, in a likeness to Queen Harrison, Anna Cockrell did not make it with a 53.98. She got fourth. So hopefully we'll see her next year. Now I do know this name. In the 3000, we had Emma Colburn running 9.10. So that, in the steeplechase, always glad to see her, always good to see her fighting for it. She made it. Courtney Waymont also made it. Courtney, Frericks from Nike also made it, 9.10, 9.12, 9.16. Emma Colburn she's that one, right? Where she's been fighting for it, working for it. She's our American champion. So, our hopes to run that race, I'll have to, double check to see how she aligns with the world's best. But usually she sits in that top three spot. So that's good news. That's good stuff. As far as high jump, Vashti Cunningham really is just kind of towering over everybody with that 6'4 mark. I mean, everyone is at least 2 inches below her with Rachel Glenn, Rachel McCoy, and Inika McPherson from Puma. Solid. Obviously her dad, the quarterback Cunningham from the Vikings, you already know. He's well known. They're both well known now. Sandy Morris, at a 15.9 and 3/4, vaulting to greatness, like coming back. I mean, her injuries in Tokyo were sad to see. They locked her up really bad. But her, training partner, Katie Najote went third place here. With Alina McDonald getting the silver from KMR Athletic Pole Vault Club. Dope. Great to see them back out. Great to see them doing it. The pole vault is terrifying. I don't know how they do it. I watched it in college. I have friends at pole vault. Just awesome. Awesome. And, huge shout out to my buddy, my friend, Jamie Davis, also a pole vaulter that pole vaulted for Canada. She's awesome. She's back training again as well. So, hopefully we'll see each other at a Masters, world meet sometime. Okay. So, women's long jump. Here's where it starts to get very, very interesting. Quenisha Burks, 23.2. Jasmine Moore, 23.3 3/4. And then Tiffany Flynn, 21 and 11 and a half. So, we had some people not make it, but I'm happy and pleased with who did. We do a lot to get to that mark And when you can scratch in your event, it changes everything. Knocking that pole off of the pole vault high jump, you can scratch. Your toe is too far over the line, you can scratch. So huge shout out to any women that make it to the world in the long jump and triple jump. Because it's always controversial. You can always miss your mark, but the way you hit that board is everything. Now let's go to triple jump. Katuri Orji, KO. Katuri Orji, KO. 48.6 1/4. Good God. Now she's been doing it for a long time. Like, she's been getting it. I remember seeing her jump in college when she was, I think she was with Florida. Is it either Florida or Arkansas? I can't remember specifically. But yeah, Tori Franklin, 47.10 1/2. And then Jasmine Moore, 46.5 1/4. And I can't use the meters because I just don't know it that well. So yeah, I'm going to stick with what I know, feet. Shot put, Chase Ely, also an Arizona state champion in the 100. You know, throwing 67.3 1/2 in the women's shot put. Second place was Adelaide Aquila in the women's shot put, 63.9 3/4. And then Jessica Woodard, 63.7 3/4. Sadly, Raven Saunders did not make it, got fourth for Team Nike, 62.2 1/4. So Maggie Ewan, oh man, that's my girl. Maggie Ewan, she was a Sun Devil. Always look to see her do some, you know, wonderful, great things. 61.7 3/4. So yes, awesome job to them. And yeah, we'll see them back in Eugene. Now for the discus, we really love focusing on this young lady here. The dance captain, the dance master, Valerie Allman. 219.7 feet. So, now LaLuga Tasaga Collins, 211.7. And then Rachel Denkoff, 203.10. So, I mean, I don't have the shoulder to do all this throwing, so I'm already impressed. But Valerie Allman, she's like a throws Barbie. So it's hard not to want to talk about her. It's hard not to love her. And she brings her dance talent to the ring for a very impressive throw. So, you know, it really can be one of those how far can you go matches where you can really just challenge somebody. That's what I love about the throws. Hammer throw, good Lord, crazy. Brooke Anderson, 255.9 feet. Jane Kessin-Navoid, 249.6 feet. And then Annette Echikunwoke, 242.00 even. Javelin throw, Kara Winger, 210.10. Ariane Entz, 198.3. And Avion Allgood Whetstone, 194.5. So those are our women's throws. They're doing awesome. You know, they're doing awesome. So I do want to take a second, transition over to the men and talk about them a little bit, because that controversy is not going nowhere. All right, so with the men, I started with the throws. With the women, I ended with the throws. For the men, I'm going to start with the throws. As far as javelin, Ethan Dabbs, 266.8. Curtis Thompson, 264.1. And Mark Anthony Minicello, 259.4. Always impressed, always love seeing our throwers, always love seeing them do it, because yeah, I don't have the shoulder for it. I would love to shot put, that's like my dream fantasy, but we'll see. As far as hammer throw, Daniel Ha, 263.1, Rudy Winkler, 257.00 even, and then Alex Young, 251.4. Remarkable, always impressive. For discus throw, Andrew Evans, 207.8, Dallin Schertz, 204.5, and then from New York Athletic Club, Sam Mattis, 204.2. Shot put. Save the best for last, right? Ryan Krauser, 75.10 1/4. He is the world leader. Joe Kovacs, Also throwing 75, 75 and a half or even and a half. And then Josh Owatunde, 70 feet and seven. So, you know, definitely, you know, there's definitely some competition. But, I mean, 77 feet kind of changes things, doesn't it? So, now that we get in a triple jump, you know, Will Clay is in the mix. Christian Taylor is on his way back. He's, you know, triple jumping up to 54.75. But you've got Donald Scott, you know, pushing the pace with, you know, 56, you know, even. So, yeah. Will Clay comes in second with the 55.65. So, awesome. And I mentioned Queen Harrison. This is her husband. And then Chris Bernard, 55.75. So, yeah. I mean, we've got a really nice new deck of, you know, jumpers, runners, hurdlers coming out. And, I mean, it is kind of hard to see, you know, my stars, the guys that I've known who have rolled up on everybody and been invincible. It is hard to see them, you know, sit down, so to speak, and, you know, have to, you know, in theory, kind of do something else. But they've had great careers. They've done a great job. And Christian Taylor is one of those who, you know, was dominant. You know, let me see here. So, the winning jump here by Donald Scott was 17.07 meters. Christian Taylor's best jump is 17.43. So, I mean, he's clearly beyond anyone. And then in March, you know, early March, he had a 17.21. So yeah, you got to do it here though. But with him being, I think he has a bye. Like, he should have a bye, because of, you know, the past. I thought he had won Worlds in the previous meet, so we'll see. But yeah, let's transition here. So triple jump, that is triple jump. Let's look at long jump, right? So Ravon Gray from LSU blast out with a 26-foot jump. Stephen Carter blast out with a 26.9, and then Jeremiah Davis blast out with a 26.75. So once again, I got to look at how they, you know, stack up to the world. I don't know where they stack up in the world right now. So maybe we'll have to do another one, you know, on that heading into Worlds, how everybody looks. But yeah, we'll see. And, you know, I'm excited to see what, you know, they can do. All right, moving to pole vault. So Chris Nelson, my boy, my fellow Coyote, is now at 18.8 1/4. Luke Winder has qualified as well with 18.8 1/4. And we have Andrew Irwin at 18.4 1/2. So, I mean, I obviously have to take some time to get to know these other gentlemen. But Chris is in, so that's all that matters. He's like the only one that can actually rival, you know, Armando Duplantis. So Armando Duplantis, like, I mean, the kid is, I mean, LSU, and, you know, for his country, I mean, I'm sure they have statues of him. He's probably on the boxes of cereal, and he's probably the superhero on kid shirts, right? So, yeah, just dope. pole vault with high jump. Let's take a peek here. Looks like Shelby McEwen, 7 feet 7 3/4 inches. Javon Harrison, Mr. Swag, 7 foot 6 inches 1/2. And then Dontavious Hill from Auburn, 7 foot 3 1/4. So congratulations to them. College kid being in there is always, you know, impressive. And Javon Harrison literally coming off of, you know, an amazing year at LSU, where he was, you know, a long jump and high jump success. So, you know, I'm excited about them. We'll see how they mesh up with the world's best. And, yeah, Now, as far as steeplechase, good Lord, this dude Hillary Bohr. Now, I think the funniest thing about track and field is the difference in size of our athletes, like how different the where the meat is, right? Where the shoulders and the quads and the calves, the glutes, and then where, athletes need to be smaller. And you can always see this. It's always remarkably different to me in like the 3,000, the 5,000, 1,500, and 800, especially. So Hillary Bohr, 8:15, 3,000. Evan Yeager, 8:17, which was his season's best. And then Bernard Ketter from the Army, 8:19, which was his season's best as well. So dope. I mean, they're pretty loaded. I mean, Team Nike, US Army had two runners in there. Adidas was in there. Adidas in there for a few athletes. Nike in there as well. So yeah, I mean, you don't think it matters, but it matters. Nike is they're trying to do something. Now, as far as the 400 meter hurdles, obviously Rhyd Benjamin's gonna own that spot. Being the fastest American we've ever had, it just so happens that the only year that somebody could run faster than Rhyd Benjamin happened to be an Olympic year while, he was running the best he could possibly run. So Carson Warholm has pulled up his hamstring. I watched him run it. I think it was a meet in Oslo. He pulled up pretty bad. Looked like it hurt pretty bad. But Rhyd Benjamin's running a 47:04 easily, and you have Trevor Bassett, who was a Division II standout, did amazing in both the 110 hurdles, the 400 hurdles. He ran the 200, he ran the 400. The kid's just all over the place, just a great athlete and a great runner. So 47:47 fast. Khalifa Roser, 47:65, all personal best. But that 47:04 is a world leading time. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they'll do. I'm excited to see how they attack world. Obviously, there's Santos from Brazil creeping up, always running well, always running good. And you never know, we might see Abderrahman Samba come back and do his thing. Because I remember not Rhyd Benjamin, but Carson Warholm was having a real tough time dealing with him. In the world spectrum. Now, coming to the 110s, this is where things get a little bit weird, right? Devin Allen, Mr. 12:84, got third. Now, I've just learned that his father passed the day before he needed to run finals, right? So, like, this is one of the things where I feel like people need to step back and realize these athletes are people too. Just because he gets a lot of money to run track and field does not mean he is guaranteed any wins. If anything, the track and field world or mixed martial arts world are identical in the fact that you can't have a losing season like you can in the NFL and NBA. And expect to be back next year. Like, there's no $1 million contract. People aren't as invested in the world of track and field and in the world of martial arts the way they are in the NBA and NFL. Like, in the NFL, you can play 18 games a season, you can't have 18 fights a season. In the NBA, you can play a season of 50 plus games, you can't have 50 fights. You can't run 50 track meets. You'll destroy your body. That's not the way the body's made. So now you can run 50 times, down the track, a year because you run 50, not 52 weeks a year, but we run quite a bit. But to do it competitively, everybody would have to be so bad that the person that you'd want to watch would, float away with that thing. So, it is kind of sad considering that. Yeah, these people are athletes, but they're also people first. And the money, the status, the speed, you have to work that. You have to garden for those crops to come up. So Trey Cunningham, our, I mean, we haven't had an athlete, a hurdler like this in a long time. And these two guys, they're white. You know what I mean? Devin Allen and Trey Cunningham are the world's best hurdlers right now. And we haven't seen this in maybe a long time. And they've earned it. They've worked for it. They're amazing athletes. They're fast. They got good hair. they got good hairstyles. So yeah, I mean, more respect where respect is due. What I did not expect was for Daniel Roberts to repeat the same exact thing he did in 2019 to Grant Holloway. So 13:03, I think he ran that same time at Drake to qualify for Worlds. So I don't know. I don't know. I thought he did back in 2019. Let me look here real quick. 13 flat. So he ran 13 flat at Drake to qualify for Worlds that year. Now, lo and behold, Grant Holloway came and snatched, you know, that meet away from everybody. But Daniel Roberts ran a great race. He was consistent, and he knows how to put together a great race up to this point, which is wonderful and amazing, right? So I don't know what's gonna happen at Worlds. We'll see. But yeah, it's going to be loaded. It is going to be loaded. And I'm excited. I mean, because you're going to have Devin Allen, Trey Cunningham, Daniel Roberts, Grant Holloway. I'm guessing, I haven't checked Jamaican results, but I'm guessing we're also going to have Omar McLeod and what's the boy's name? The Olympian from Jamaica, the kid that won, I can't remember his name, but he should be back, the gold medalist. Sorry for being so close-minded, but the gold medalist from Jamaica, he will be back. And then we also have, I can't say Shubenkoff, because I don't know if Shubenkoff will be back. I think colliding with Omar McLeod, or Omar McLeod kicking him, really knocked him out of his PR, the best times we would have ever seen from him. Same thing with Mr. Martinez from Spain. So I don't know who else the world has cooked up as far as races, but we'll see. I think Trey Cunningham, Devin Allen, and Grant Holloway could be a sweep. I think the three of them, our Americans, could sweep the 110 hurdles for the first time. Now, maybe first time according to my knowledge, but for the first time, period. So, you know, on to the 5,000. Yeah, Grant Fisher wins that with a 13:03. Woody Kincaid, second with a 13:06, season's best. And Abdiamid Noor runs a 13:08.63 from Northern Arizona. So quality times, great times. Obviously, if you guys know me, you know that I give them much respect, mad respect for the distance crew. They put in the work. Same thing with the 1500. Cooper Tier from Nike wins with a 3:45. Jonathan Davis wins with a 3:46 from Illinois. And then Josh Thompson from Nike, the Bowerman Track Club, wins with a 3:46. They put in the work. So, you know, much respect where, you know, respect is due. Now, the 800, Bryce Hopple will not be beaten. This dude, I mean, he just fights for it every step of the way. I think you've got to go to, like, Kenya to find somebody to beat him. He just refuses to be beaten, and I love it. 144.60. Jonah Ketch from Nike, the U.S. Army team, 144.74. And then Brandon Miller edged out Clayton Murphy in a heated battle from Texas A&M for 145.19. Like, great job, gentlemen, and congratulations. See you at Worlds. The 400 was a show. Like, dope. I did not expect Champion Allison to jump up to run a 43, because he did not do that at Nationals against Randolph Ross. Randolph Ross smoked everybody at Nationals running a 44.17. Champion Allison did not beat him. So seeing him run a 43.70 to get a silver medal was dope. Randolph Ross obviously cleaned up well, ran a 44.17, also looking well. And I believe both of these gentlemen are juniors or seniors. We'll see. But Michael Norman cleaned up, swept the whole field with a world lead time and a 43.56. So, I mean, he's cooking. He's getting into Michael Johnson territory now with that 43. So I love seeing that. And a 43.56, he looked really comfortable doing it. And I hope he keeps pushing it. I don't know what's gotten into him. You know, these times where he's been in Japan or these times when he's froze up, I don't know what happens. I just wish him the best. I hope he overcomes those things. I don't know if he gets that anxiety or panics, but I hope he overcomes those things to be the best version of himself. Because, yeah, he's rolling, and I love seeing him do his thing. Him and Ry Benjamin, they're best friends, training partners, and they should be world leaders in their events. Now, 200, a very controversial race. Now, obviously, we know Noah Lyles has a personality, and he cleared it up really quick, saying that that point to the camera was not intended to point at Arian Knighton. He was just being very emotional, having a lot of fun, and showing his spirit of competition. Obviously, Arian Knighton running a 19.4. I mean, he ran a 10.3 in his first 200, in his first 100 meters. And so Noah Lyles ran a 10.4 in his first 100 meters. Fred Curley ran 19.83. The big fella struggles with those curves. And I understand. I mean, this dude is a giant, okay? So that's the thing. With taller guys, bigger guys, the curves can kind of eat him up. But he works that 100 meters to perfection. So Kenny Bednarik, you know, our Olympic bronze medalist, 1987. So I don't know if he's in as well, because Noah Lyles is our world champion from the previous year. Great race, 19.67 after running three 200s at, you know, near top speed. Proud of all three of them. Noah Lyles, Arian Knighton, and Fred Curley, they couldn't be more different. And I know for a lot of people, they see black males and they're just like, oh God, they're all the same. We're not. You have a conversation with these three gentlemen, it's not going to go anything near the same. Sit down, have dinner with them, you'll see what I mean. So now down to the 100, this is where now it's a lot of fun. Fred Curley wins with a 9.77, Marvin Bracey 9.85, Trayvon Bermell 9.88. So Michael Williams was running a 9.8 back in, I believe, April. And yeah, I mean, the boy, I mean, he's got speed. So does Kyrie King, so does Elijah Hall Thompson, so does Kenny Bednarik, and Christian Coleman. We'll see them at Worlds. He did not complete all of his rounds. But here's what I'm talking about here. I'm looking at USATF.com, and they have a nice, clean breakdown, which kind of upsets me, of the 30-meter mark and the 60-meter mark. At 30 meters, God, this makes me so mad. They should have... At 30 meters, Fred Curley had run a 3.9. Marvin Bracey had run a 3.9. Trayvon Bermell had run a 3.9. Now, keep in mind, they're not saving any energy. This is all strategy. So at 30 meters, they had run a 3.9. I don't know what they would run at 40 meters. The thing is, they're not racing in the 40, so their race is tailored a little bit different. So you can't say, oh, they're 40. If you were to put up their 40 time, their 40 time, you know, doesn't matter because they're, you know, they're the fastest in the world. They're not racing the 40. They're racing to the 100 meters. But I really wish they would have had this breakdown in there as well. Because the 100 meter breakdown is great if you can put the 40 meters in there. So you could have an example. I think too easily people want to slough off and discount track and field as, you know, not being as fast on the football field when they're two completely different things. And any football player that knows the difference, that has ran track on a high level, especially a collegiate level, can explain what the difference really is. I mean, half of the people on the football field would never, they'd never even be close to you in a football race. So, or in a track meet. So, yeah, altogether, super excited to see what these men did. Just such an amazing meet. Same thing with the women's 400. Well, women's 100, they have those breakdowns. 30 meters, 60 meters, 100 meters. So, you know, just excited to see what happens with this upcoming race, upcoming end of season. And, yeah, we need to just remember to be respectful of these athletes. I mean, they're real people. And to be thrust into the limelight and have to compete and do well, it is a lot. One of my good buddies, good friends, found out that his, you know, family member passed away just before he was about to jump. So, you know, and I hate to say, a lot of times there isn't weed around for people to smoke it. They just got to deal with it. And so we all handle things different. I think we just need to be respectful and loving in that regard. So, all right, you all. I love you all. Hope you love me back. You can love and like these messages. I'll see you soon.